Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always
Word of Life.
Thank you, John Wayne. Thanks, Ben, for leading us this morning in beautiful ways as we worship God. And I hope that you see the theme that we're developing of how we continue to lean into what God is doing in God's faithfulness in this season and time of uncertainty. We are in a sermon series of The Wilderness, What Now? We believe that there are timeless truths of Scripture that we find in the book of Exodus as the people move out of slavery in Egypt. And through the wilderness wandering, God is with the people. So we want to delve into that, dive into that, and find out what lessons was God teaching people. Now, for me personally, and as I add my voice to this sermon series, I am deeply impressed with St. John of the Cross, who was persecuted for his faith in the 1500s. And he basically was jailed for 6 to 7 months because he just simply believed that prayer should involve not only a liturgy of the church, but a contemplative prayer, saying a time and season where we say, God, what are you doing in my life now? So in a dark dungeon with no pad to write on, no electronic devices, obviously, he began to record in his heart what he called the dark night of the soul. In other words, he looked at this moment of being in this dark season, not as a time of oppression, being a victim, but as a time of drawing him closer. And he ultimately says in his book, Dark Night of the Soul, that really there was nothing there in the darkness but God. Now, we believe that as we all experience the challenges and struggles in different ways in this COVID-19 pandemic, that God is still faithful. And it's okay for us to have our human emotions of frustration and anger. And even though it's not in there, maybe it's in the Message translation, that blessed are those who have Zoom fatigue, for the Lord is with you. Folks, I know what that feels like. When we meet as clergy sometimes during the week by Zoom, we actually will compare notes about, hey, how many Zoom meetings have you been on, John Wayne? Four, five, seven. And it's almost like a competition, like who's been on more Zoom meetings than anybody else that day? But there's a fatigue that comes with that. There's a fatigue that comes with just seeing people on the screen and not being able to engage in the way that God created us and built us to be, which is in community. It's frustrating. It's filled with questions, and you got to wonder, God, where are you in all of this? Well, friends, we're going to find today where God is, where God's always been. Now, before I move into the text today, which is going to come from Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 22, I want to put just this note about the number of women that were involved in Moses' life. Moses and Aaron are the central two figures in the wilderness experiences that God speaks to and works with. But think of the people that were involved before Moses got to this place, these magnificent pillars of the faith in women. There were Shipra and Pua were actually the midwives that were standing in the gap between what Pharaoh wanted to do to all of the infant boys because the Israelites were becoming too numerous. There was Moses' mother, Jochebed, and his sister, Miriam. Jochebed, who out of love, places Moses in a little literally a little basket, like a little ark with tar pitched so it wouldn't sink and become waterproof and puts him out and entrusts him to God. There's even Pharaoh's daughter who finds Moses and raises him. These women who are so instrumental in God's story of what God wanted to do in Moses' life. So I just want to add my voice to what's been said today. For some of you today, it's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day of celebrating mothers and being able to embrace the legacy they poured into you. But I want to recognize there's some pain that's felt this day. There's pain in the brokenness. There's pain in mothers that are no longer around to physically touch, but are only alive in your memory. So to all of the women in the church, whether you have had a child, whether you are physically a mother or not, your voice and your leadership, you are the mothering presence in the life of the church. Be encouraged and know that as you pour into people, as you pour into those around you, God will use your voice. And I just want to give thanks to God for what all you've done. Well, if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 14. It's a little lengthy passage. It's 22 verses. So if you're at home, or whether you're at the park watching, wherever you are, just want to invite you to stand. I invite people to stand for the reading of Scripture out of respect to God's Word. As you hear now from Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 22, hear now the word of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Haroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite of Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Haroth, opposite Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them, and they were terrified. They cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better to die in Egypt than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You can be seated wherever you are, and let's pray together. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be shaped and formed into the good news of the gospel of Christ. And may you open our ears to what you would speak to us this day. And may your spirit stand between me and your people so that your words is all that is heard. For this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people did say, amen. Friends, I stopped at verse 22 in this passage because it makes a far better movie with Yul Brynner and Disney to do the parting of the Red Sea and those sort of dramatic effects than to dive into this wrestling that happens between the conversations of the people of Israel and God. The people of Israel listen attentively, and we know how the story works out. But they also are in conversation with Moses and God, and they're a little bit frustrated. So there's some lessons that we want to pull out of this. And the first is to take direct aim at the concept of fear. Now, friends, fear drives and faith guides. That's a statement that I actually posted on Facebook not too long ago. And it occurred to me that at times we oversimplify things. We need to remember that where we're coming from last week before we got to this point was that God will lead. And God always leads, even when the way is long. Remember, the people came out of Israel. They wanted to go the short way. They were dressed for battle, but God knew if they faced that, then they would actually be defeated. So he takes them a longer way. That's in verse 13, chapter 13, verse 17. And we also remember that God is faithful. Where God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. God brings them to this place. And now they're engaging their fears. Sometimes fear is portrayed as the opposite of faith. And I want to challenge you with this idea that it's not fear that's inherently bad, it's what we do with our fears. Do we introduce our fears to our faith? Now, we use one word in English, fear, and it sort of means everything, right? Sometimes maybe on this Mother's Day, we can all remember that when your mother would call you by your full name, I can remember at my home, when my mother said, James Burton Palmer Jr., fear began to move through my bones. I knew my mother meant business. But in the Hebrew understanding, the Greek understanding, fear has layers and meaning. This kind of fear is a disabling fear. In the Psalms, it talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a sense of awe of who God is. Fear is a human emotion. It's not a bad thing. As we get this committee together, we will in many ways think about what are we afraid of? What are our fears in reopening too soon? Someone else might be infected. What are our faith expectations? What do we believe God's going to do in the midst of this? It's the relationship between the fear and the faith. And we're leaning into this. When the people leave Israel, when the people leave Egypt, I'm sorry, when the Israelites, they're marching out boldly. In verse 9, they march out boldly. Basically, the word boldly in the Hebrew connotes that they were marching out with their hands lifted. They're so happy and joyful to leave slavery behind. They're going to follow. God's going to deliver. They've seen God's faithfulness in the midst of the plagues. God will deliver. And then there's this troubling aspect about God hardening Pharaoh's heart. So I want to unpack that. This word in the Hebrew of hardened literally means strengthened. It means that not that God took away the free will choice that the Pharaoh had to either listen or not, because as you read the preceding chapters, you will find there are five separate places that Pharaoh, the text says that Pharaoh chose to harden his heart, chose to stiffen his neck, and that's a little more explicit. But God doesn't remove this free will. This is one of the primary tenets of our faith. God gives us free will, a choice to respond. But what God's doing with Pharaoh is whatever's present, God's leaning in. I don't know exactly what's going on with Pharaoh, but I know that God didn't remove from him the choice to respond differently. And one of the aspects, did you hear time and again, that what God's doing through Israel and through Egypt is to give glory to what God can do, to show the Egyptians, to show the Israelites who God is, that his Shekinah, his glory would be revealed to all.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Fear's not bad. It's what we do with that fear. And I don't want to oversimplify things and simply say that fear is false evidence appearing real. Maybe you've heard that phrase. It's an acronym. Fear's a legitimate human emotion. If we were back to normal and this building were filled with all kinds of children and things happening and you were in the parking lot walking to your car and you saw an excited little four-year-old start running through the cars and you knew that there was a car coming, you would, by natural response, would be you are afraid for that child. So that kind of fear would be an appropriate thing. You would ask, what is the motivation for that fear? Why are you fearful? Because this is sacred, this is important, and I don't want it to be harmed. But we don't let fear drive our faith. We bring our faith in conversation to our fears. So maybe the next major movement is to ask, what moves us from faith to fear? Or what moves us from focusing from faith to fear? I would suggest to you, it's simply, what are we attentive to? Where is our focus? It's amazing that when the Israelites approach in verse 10 of this passage, all of the Egyptians are approaching. The Israelites look up and they see the Egyptians marching after them, and they were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, did you catch that? They cried out to the Lord, they said to Moses. It's very clear. They said to their leader and they said to their God, why did you bring me here? It's amazing when your focus is in fear, even slavery looks good. The people were looking back to where they had been, back to the familiar. There are times that in our response of the wilderness of where we are causes us to look very romantically at the past so that we avoid the challenges of the present. And sometimes we say, I just want to go back to the way it was. I know that feeling. The way it used to be when you could go into a restaurant and not have to be 6 feet from somebody, when you didn't have to line up outside the store you wanted to go in to keep social distancing. And we could focus so romantically on just being frustrated to the present that we wanted to go back to the way it was, or we could say, God, what is it you want to teach us now in this season? I want to celebrate the fact that our home small groups have grown by 2 since COVID-19 hit. It's almost as if in our small group ministry, we stood in the face of this and said, we're not going to be driven by fear that says, oh gosh, we can't do anything. Folks are stepping up. Your faithfulness and generosity has been amazing, allowing us to continue to be faithful to all of our commitments. You're stepping forward. You're not shrinking in the midst of the challenge. You're stepping forward. The things that Whitney and our children's ministry are doing to reach out to families is absolutely amazing. The creative ways that we're reaching out beyond our ordinary way of doing things is bringing to us a new understanding of what God is doing in the midst of all this. So our focus is on our faith, not on our fears. Think of how it got worked out with Peter. Peter goes back to the Sea of Galilee. He goes back to fishing after the resurrection. He's going back to the familiar, and Jesus finds him. Even when Jesus was with Peter in the Sea of Galilee, he steps out of the boat on the Sea of Galilee. He focuses on the storm and begins to sink. When he focuses on Christ, he's not sinking. So I would ask, how's your heart and where's your focus? When Pharaoh's armies are behind you and the Red Sea of impossibility seems to be in front of you, what are you going to do? I think we have to look then at verses 13 to 18 to find out, how do we handle this? How do we lean in this moment and season of faith? I can't tell you how many times I've actually quoted verse 14 to someone who's going through a struggle, that the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. It's a beautiful phrase. And this is the message that Moses brings to the people. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. You'll see the deliverance of the Lord. The Egyptians you see today, you will not ever see again. You simply need to be still, and the Lord will fight for you. Verse 15 says that Moses, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. And then gives him the specific instructions for the parting of the Red Sea, that part of the story we know so well. When you feel Pharaoh's fears chasing you, and the future fears feels as impossible as the Red Sea in front of you, it's important to know that God is with you. And that we live in this balance between knowing when to stand firm where we are and when to listen. If we dive down in the meaning of these words, literally, the word crying out is impactful here. It means that these people are not complaining. They're simply giving their cry to God. God, why? And if you read what God says, it is the people need not just to stand firm, but this meaning in Hebrew for standing firm can also mean to be silent. In other words, there's a time to speak out, a time to cry out, a time to stand firm, a time to move on. And how do we learn how to do that? We learn how to move on and when to stand still, when to listen, when to act in the community of faith that surrounds us. That's what makes this time so difficult. We're having to find creative ways to be community together. And one of the most beautiful aspects about this text that I love today is the movement of God to be where God knows to be, where God needs to be. Verse 19 says, "Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them." The pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, they're behind the people. They had been in front of the people, and now they're behind the people. What's going on within this text? Well, I think what we need to know is that God knows where to be. God knows when to be in front to lead and protect, when to be behind in support. This idea of faith guides and fear drives is a dynamic play that I started out with. My friends, there are times that my faith drives me out of my complacency, and there are times that my faith guides me to be courageous. There are times that my fear will drive me to withdraw, but my fear of what fails to be will drive me into a place of being more faithful. It's a relationship. It's almost like a dance. It's a dynamic process, not a simple kind of thing. We learn when to be still and when to move on in the context of community together, where God speaks, where God leads, where God guides. I think the best way to illustrate this is to let you know of our little personal, a moment of our personal experience out of the last trip to the Holy Land. Some of you probably watched on Facebook that we arrived in Bethlehem and stayed overnight in Bethlehem. And as we came back in, we went out of the Bethlehem to see places along the Sea of the Dead Sea and Qumran and the baptismal site known as Quasar al-Yahud. So we came back into Bethlehem and they said, tomorrow morning we're just going to have to leave because they're closing the borders. So we went to bed that night thinking, well, we're not going to see a lot of the places that we thought we were going to because we have to be out of the Palestinian-controlled area. We wake up the next morning and we're all at breakfast downstairs in an area about as large as this gym space. And our Israeli guide came to us and said that God woke him up in the middle of the night with a verse that he put on his heart for all of us that were in that room. And it was this beautiful moment as he went from group to group to group, and there were about eight groups there spread out over four different buses, and he simply shared, "This is the verse that God has given to me," because we knew we were going to have to be leaving Bethlehem. And the verse is from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 12. This is what it says. "But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard." This passage, it picks up the imagery of the people that are moving, knowing that God knows where to be in your life. Ahead of you, to lead you, behind you, to be your rear guard, to be beside you, to walk with you. We took that verse to heart, and as everybody finished breakfast and all of the luggage was brought up, we found out that the border back into Israel had been closed. So basically, we were not allowed to leave Bethlehem, but we were being told to leave Bethlehem. We were in the in-between. It was for us in that moment nothing like a comparison to the people of the Israelites, but we felt there was someone chasing us out and nowhere to go. The Red Sea wasn't going to open, and we couldn't leave, and we were being chased out from behind. We gathered together and prayed. There was a group that went over to another area and began worshiping together. And we simply prayed together and we waited. Now, I can't tell you all the details about how we got out, but we got out. We got out because we were waiting on God and we were listening. And God provided a way that led not only our bus, which was the second bus to get out. It was all legal. We didn't do anything illegal, but we got out. And as we were going along the way, what I encouraged our folks to do is to not post on Facebook all the things that were happening good for us because there were 30 other buses lined up that couldn't get out. I've gone back to that moment time and again because my belief is that when you look at the Hebrew concept of blessing, we think in the United States that blessing of God means I get, I receive. It's sort of accompanied to what John Wayne often talks about, the consumerism mentality of the Christian faith at times, like we consume something, we get something. Well, this idea of blessing in the Hebrew context is if you are blessed, it's not for you alone. The purpose of God blessing you is that you would be a conduit to bless others, not a bucket to hoard to yourself. And so as we moved, we thought about how we would be blessed with information and opportunity, and we passed that information along to bless others. What if we translate that concept to this moment of wilderness now? What if we begin to think about how God is, even in the midst of the struggles, desiring to bless us, not just for ourselves, but to pass on to others? Now, I don't want to diminish it all. As pastors, we are hearing the difficulty that folks are experiencing. And if you're in that season where you are really feeling stretched and pushed down, I want to say to you very clearly, it is perfectly okay for you to feel empty, to feel poured out, to feel hopeless, because you can still be a full person of Christian faith and still experience those rains of emotions. Just bring them to God, share with others. What's happening to you is not because you have a lack of faith. God's not punishing you. But this does feel like a wilderness. It does feel like we're wandering around. It does feel frustrating to us. We don't know when things will return to normal. And we have this tendency to want to cry out to God and say, God, why'd you take us this place? Why are we here? When is it ever going to get back to the way it used to be? And what we want to do as a community of faith is to lean on God and lean into each other. And in the midst of those conversations, say, not why is it happening, but what now, God? And it's beautiful to see the ways that you are caring for each other as our church reaches out in tangible ways, even amidst all of these changing circumstances. I wish I could have an answer for you for when the building's going to be open again. I don't have that answer. I don't know if it's going to be in June. I don't know if it's going to be in July. Every day, the material and the data seems to be changing. I want to encourage you with a couple of things about your individual walk of faith and for us as a community of faith. Number one, we want to be attentive to what God is doing in our lives and in our hearts, both as a community of faith and as individuals. So as you think about where you are in this text, where maybe you're at a place where you're focusing on the Egyptian Pharaoh that's chasing you and what seems to be the impossible in front of you, are you in conversation with God? Are you pouring your life out, asking God, what do you want to do in my life? Where is Christ growing you? Where is God's presence and spirit strengthening you? And we want to ask that same question as a community of faith. Where is God pouring into us? The second thing that's critically important in this time and season is that we ask, what is it that God wants to do in our lives and at KUMC, and respond appropriately? We don't want to be consumed by looking around and seeing what is somebody else doing and begin to compare ourselves with others. We want to say, God, what are you calling from my life? God, what are you calling from our community of faith? And in the context of praying together and leading together, God will reveal himself. And we will find the way in which God is calling us forth. I have no idea what that looks like. All I know this for sure. Here's the great good news of the gospel. God knows where God needs to be. God is with us ahead of us. God is with us behind us. God is always with us. And if God brings us to this moment, God will bring us through it. Because as impossible as it seems, maybe for you and where you are, if you've lost your job or you don't know how long you'll be employed, it may seem absolutely impossible. God is with you. Maybe you haven't seen that loved one. You haven't been able to touch the grandchildren. You're frustrated because you haven't been able to celebrate with your friends in high school or school. You're at graduation, in high school graduations, in college graduations. It's not the way it is. It's not the way it's going to be. But God is with you. How can you lean into God and know that God is with you, even amidst the hurt, the brokenness, and the unknown? The good news of the gospel of Christ for you and me, God knows where to be. In the midst of all the unknown, God's right in the middle of it. And in Christ, God reminds us there's no brokenness that he's afraid of. There's no question that will intimidate him. And he wants to be in relationship to you. So I want to encourage you to reach out to the prayer team ministry if you haven't for whatever you're going through. A group of people who have been praying together and trained together in ways to walk with you in that journey. I want to encourage you to reach out to a friend that's around you. Don't let this time of isolation drive you further into being lonely, but use the gifts that you can to reach beyond yourself. It's a frustrating time. We won't be here forever, but this is where we are today. And we'll trust God to lead us for where we'll be in the future. And as individuals in your lives, let us know as pastors how we can be helpful and staff to you in your walk with Christ and in your faith. Friends, God's with us. That's what Emmanuel means. And that's the great good news of the gospel. In the spirit of what John Wayne described for us for prayer, I invite you to receive this prayer. Extend your hands, be open to what God wants to do as we bow our heads together in prayer. God, we confess to you, we don't know all the whys of what is happening. We bring to you our questions, and I pray that you would move in the hearts of people to bring all of who they are to you. And if their prayers need to be prayers that say, God, they're frustrated, they don't understand, they're hurting, they're angry, God, would you move in their hearts and let them know that's okay. That prayer can be that opportunity they bring all of who they are into your presence. Because God, until we reveal our hearts, our wounds, our hurts, our frustrations, our angers to you, we're the ones who have the hardened hearts because we haven't created space in our hearts for you. God, would you help this community of faith continue to reach out beyond themselves, towards one another, with one another? Would you help us to recognize that you are blessing us in this time, and it's a time of challenge? Help us not look back in fear, but look forward in faith. And God, help us to know that you are always where you need to be. You're in the midst of the heartbreak, in the midst of the laughter, in the midst of the challenge, in the midst of the joy. So God, thank you for being with us in all of that journey. God, we love you. We trust you. And we thank you that there's nothing we can say or express to you that will change your love for us in Jesus Christ, in whose name we worship and gather this day. And all of God's people did say,